Welcome to Ice Time, the Buffalo News' hockey podcast. I'm Lance Lysowski, joined, of course, by Mike Harrington. And Mike, all right, we'll try to make the conversation at least a little different than last week, since I'm sure a lot of fans, a lot of our listeners feel like it's just been the movie Groundhog Day, if you haven't seen it, where basically you wake up and it's the same thing over and over again, even though they really isn't, but it might feel that way.
Are there palm trees in Groundhog Day?
Oh, man. Punxsutawney does not have those. Of course, neither does Buffalo. And that is a very good segue to our first topic, which became really a national conversation around, you know, people who were talking hockey in Canada and the United States. Kevin Adams held a press conference on Friday to address the various topics surrounding his hockey team, which has now lost 7 games in a row, 0-4-3 during that span, of course. And Mike, 2 words, you mentioned them, palm trees, captured all the headlines. It kept getting repeated by all the talking heads and, you know, across North America, just low-hanging fruit, really. And, you know, and nowadays, it's very easy to just focus on one part of the quote, ignore the rest of it. Kevin Adams was frustrated. And we saw that frustration throughout the press conference. And the palm trees and New York state taxes really play into he's been blocked in his pursuit of making multiple deals. And of course, those are no movement clauses, no trade clauses. People who had Buffalo on their list, they didn't want to come here. Now, it wasn't the right thing to say, of course. That's not what the fans want to hear. That's not what his own players want to hear, I'm sure. But the basis of the comment, the reason behind it, is not news to us. Kevin Adams has made similar comments in the past, has he not?
He has, and this is not news to anyone in the hockey world.
No, it's true. It's accurate, but
it's become a big topic with who's been winning the Stanley Cup lately. Teams in Florida, Panthers, Tampa Bay Lightning, the Vegas Golden Knights, Nashville. These teams play in states with no income taxes on the state level. And when the new CBA is negotiated, and it could be negotiated within the next few months, some of these other teams are going to want some balance in the cap rules because these teams have an advantage when they're bringing in free agents. Now, the Sabres are not really bringing in the big money free agents. And ultimately, Kevin Adams, in the midst of a 24-minute press conference, made a lot of valid points. And even in the answer about palm trees that came in, his point was lost because of the one soundbite moment for all time. It was a mistake. You know what? Public figures at press conferences make mistakes all the time. It happens. The problem is there's no rope for Kevin Adams and the Buffalo Sabres right now. There's no interest in the fan base to hear any messaging from them at all. They wanted to hear Kevin Adams, I think, show some anger, say we're going to make some changes right now. They didn't really get that. They got a few excuses, and it's problematic. And the worst thing that can happen to Kevin Adams is people seeing trades happen, people seeing what happened the other day with San Jose and Colorado making a 4-player move for the 2 goaltenders, Colorado needing Mackenzie Blackwood because the Sabres rendered Alexander Georgiev moot. Kevin Adams made a mistake. He may never live it down. It's maybe his career epitaph if he even survives this week.
The comment that I focused in on more so than palm trees and taxes, of course, is that, you know, I asked about cap space again. Remember, back in September when I don't remember who asked the question about cap space, the Sabres have over $7 million left to spend. And Kevin Adams said at that time, I'm going to spend what I feel it's going to take to win. Well, at this point, they're not winning. So are you more open to spending? And he sort of repeated the same answer we've heard, Mike, over the last year or so, where not only does he have to focus on his cap this season, but future seasons. Future seasons really don't – he may not be – we don't know if he's going to be in charge in future seasons.
And right? did you like the little –
And I liked your follow-up because it is very accurate. The players that we all expected him to have to pay this summer – you know, Bo Byram, J.J. Paterka, Jack Quinn, Devin Levi, 3 of those 4 aren't going to get paid very much.
And he was very indignant about that when he said, you're not paying Quinn or Levi now. You already know that. Anybody watching the games knows that. Well, how do you know? Their agents would want to know that. I'm thinking to myself, if you were to pay Quinn and Levi right now, you should be fired anyway.
And the industry, we know it all goes by comps. And if you look at the comps for Devin Levi in the NHL, his numbers this year, you're not paying him very much. And the same goes for Jack Quinn. He's one empty net goal in 24 games. And there are, and again, like, and even if we bundle in the no movement, no trade clauses, Kevin Adams has traded for players who don't have those. So it is, that is just not the messaging that the fan base wants to hear. I understand your frustration, and he made it very obvious that it blocked him from making a significant deal in the summer. I get it. That stinks. We all have challenges with our jobs that we have to navigate, but you have to understand that that is not what the fan base wants to hear right now. They want to hear anger, and I understand that he said he's not going to panic, that he's not going to just suddenly lose patience. Because remember, these are players. This is his team at this point. This is no longer Jason Botterill's team. And at this point, like, yes, we are at 28 games. This is obviously we talked 2 games before this, but we are, he was over 25 games of the season. And at this point, we know this group is very inconsistent. It looks very similar to last year, despite bringing in veterans that have made an impact. You look at throughout all their offseason additions almost, Mike, have made an impact. Yet, why is this team just seem in some ways worse than it was a year ago? The power play is just as bad. They fixed the first periods. They're bad in second periods. It is just very difficult to figure. And those were the issues that he needed to address. That's where the conversation should have been steered to. But instead, you've got fans bringing inflatable palm trees to the game, and it just becomes what it is.
You know, and the other thing that really struck me, you know, the cap question really did stand out. The narrative of, oh, they've got to have a top six forward. You know, they just scored 5 goals against the Detroit Red Wings and only 21 shots.
Get a defenseman.
They need a defenseman. They might need 2 defensemen. They need a veteran defenseman to play with Owen Power, so Henry Dokiar, who doesn't need to be on the ice anymore. That's what they need. Stop talking about this top six forward thing, people. It's a collective groupthink narrative. They need a defenseman.
You can argue they could use both. All right, like
need a defenseman much more.
But a defense, if we're going by priority here, if anyone watched that game on Monday night, boy, do they need a defenseman. And it took Rasmus Dahlin's injury to really make that point glaringly obvious. And so we'll see. They got over $7 million in cap space, Mike. Wednesday night. And again, we're talking right now, 4 p.m. on Tuesday. We don't know what's at stake. I have no idea what Terry Pegula is thinking. And this is a good segue into our second topic. All fans, I think a big swath of this fan base at this moment, Mike, is wondering why hasn't ownership made a change at this point? The coach was fired in April. They brought back Lindy Ruff, you know, hoping that a very familiar, experienced person would be able to get a lot more out of this roster. And that hasn't been the case yet. So they're looking for, okay, we fire the coach. Who can we fire next? And the general manager is the one who's been here for 4.5 years at this point.
Right.
Terry Pegula made a decision back. I mean, it was the day that Kevin Adams took over that this was the vision. This is what Terry Pegula wanted. He wanted a young team. He wanted this to take a while. He knew what he was signing up for. So you and I, we have no clue. Terry Pegula has not addressed reporters about this hockey team since that day. How does he feel about this plan now at this stage? Is he still willing to wait? Does he think that somebody else can come in here and make moves? Or does he, like, Kevin Adams was handpicked by ownership to be in this job. I can't speak for Terry Pegula. I have no idea where he stands on this, but you see all the empty seats in KeyBank Center, Mike. You see the playoff. You see them near the bottom of the Eastern Conference, despite, you know, Terry Pegula shelled out long-term contracts to Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power, Dylan Cousins, Tage Thompson, Samuelson. And some of those aren't working out right now. That's not leading to what this owner was probably led to believe it would back in 2023 when some of these were signed. And yeah, it's just very interesting. It'd be interesting to know where he stands on this point.
I think 2 things here. The first thing is, I think Lindy Ruff has a say in this.
Of course.
I think he has Terry Pegula's ear. And I think if Lindy Ruff says, look, we got to get someone else in here to get us more hockey players, Kevin Adams will be in trouble. I think the other thing is, empty seats will motivate Terry Pegula.
It has in the past.
And what happens here this week? What happens if they lose to the Rangers and they lose to Washington and they lose to Toronto and the winless streak gets to 10 games? And oh, by the way, who's coming to town next week? Toronto, with all of their fans filling the building, with most of Buffalo's season ticket holders, I assume, having already dumped their tickets for December 20th. So you're reaching a crisis point for Kevin Adams here. He's already there. The press conference certainly stained him badly. But ultimately, if the team is going to lose 8, 9, 10 in a row, normally you would fire the coach in this sport. Well, that's not in play here. And the only option you have is the relatively rare in-season GM firing, just to shake things up and maybe get someone else in here who might have some ideas on some moves that can be made with this hockey team.
And it's good. It's interesting because I also look at it, okay, what is the counter argument to making a change right now? Just to think, just trying to frame it as, okay, if you're Terry Pegula and you're really looking at this, okay, you think about the drafting since Kevin Adams took over. Most draft picks, they've done pretty well with drafting so far, okay? And that has been a very key aspect of this plan that Terry Pegula and Kevin Adams put together here. Most of their veteran additions in the summer have worked out, aside from Sam Lafferty at this moment. Most of those guys have been played. They're not part of the problem. I don't think Doug Mallenstein's part of the problem. Jason Zucker's been great. Ryan McLeod's been good. It just comes down to Dylan Cousins, in my opinion, J.J. Paterka, Jack Quinn, and this miserable power play that just can't get anything done. So
they're now 1 for 25.
And I hate to oversimplify, but okay, like if you look at the entire picture, there's a lot of pieces, but there's a big problem there right in the middle that they have to figure out. This is the second coach in a row that hasn't been able to fix the power play. So what is it, right? You got Rasmus Dahlin, you got Tage Thompson, you've got pieces that should be able to be better than over 22 to start the season, and then 1 for 25 recently, Mike.
Well, how about this? You want to fix the power play? I don't need to have an advanced degree in hockey analytics, an advanced degree in X and O. Can we stop the drop passes in the neutral zone? The guy jumping the puck two zones back, going in the circle, swinging back, and then bringing the puck up the ice. Can we stop seeing that? Maybe that's a suggestion for Seth Appert and Lindy Ruff. Tell your guys, no more drop passes in the neutral zone. Attack the zone with speed. Enter the zone with speed. Battle for the puck. What happened to battle for the puck? Win our puck battles, which was the number one emphasis on the power play we heard in training camp. Where is that gone? They don't battle for the puck anymore. And ultimately, you know, look at that power play against Detroit. It took a minute and 50 seconds on that power play in the third period. They could have won the game in regulation and gave Detroit no points. They had, 15 seconds in the zone in that power play?
It was one of the worst power plays of the season, honestly, which is a statement in of itself because of how many bad ones that we've seen. Kevin Adams really needs Dylan Cousins to start looking like Dylan Cousins 2 years ago. You gave him a 7-year contract. The confidence just isn't there right now. He was playing the wing in that game. Lindy Ruff has lost patience. You know, he moved Cousins to the wing. He told Tage Thompson he'll do the same for him if he can't defend well enough. Jack Quinn's been scratched for 3 games in a row. J.J. Paterka's on his way to the press box. And those are Kevin Adams' first 2 draft picks. Both guys, you can make a counter argument all you want, but they were rushed to the NHL. Like, J.J. Paterka may have been physically ready, Mike, but he was so raw and didn't know what he was doing without the puck, and we saw it so many times for his first year and a half in the NHL. It wasn't until the second half of last season where some of that got cleaned up. And Jack Quinn, we saw it in the playoffs in Rochester the previous spring. The spring of 2022 against Utica, he got pushed around. He didn't produce. He was not physically ready, and then he gets hurt. It just goes back to when you can have one young player. You can rush one young player. The Carolina Hurricanes did it to Seth Jarvis. And they were able to bring them along slowly, insulated around the right players. But when you're doing it with 5 or 6 guys, it really starts to snowball on you when they get into a rut, which a big handful of these guys are. Like Matias Samuelsson, I'm not going to say he was rushed necessarily. Physically, he was ready. That doesn't really count. But when it comes to Quinn, like, and he's got the injuries. And it's not,
can you believe this? We're sitting here talking about Samuelson got scratched before he got hurt. Quinn is scratched now. And you get the feeling that Cousins and Paterka aren't far behind.
Yeah, definitely.
These are four young guys other than Dahlin, and they're all potentially eating popcorn with us.
Yeah.
How can that be?
And that really goes back to your point about a top six forward. Adding one top six forward is not going to fix that. It's not. And I know fans are really frustrated with Dylan Cousins right now, but they're not trading that guy because you're not getting anywhere near what the upside is. And you're really
frustrated. They don't have a defenseman to protect the lead. That's what I'm frustrated about.
And that has become such a glaring issue for this team. I don't know if the Sabres put a claim in for Dante Fabbro before Columbus picked him up. All right. They got to get a defenseman in here. Henry Okiharju and Owen Power, they're not good together. It is a bad defense pair. And right now, you're relying on them to play big minutes, Mike. You got Jacob Bryson on your top D pair for some games. Ryan Johnson looked completely lost against Detroit for long. And I hate to pick on the kid, but he doesn't look like he belongs in the NHL right now. All right. And you've got Clifton's okay in a third pair role. It's tough. We've seen it. When you try to get him to try to do more than that, there's some limitations there. Bryson had some good games. It's not been, he can't box out. He's really struggling around his own net.
Yep.
It just goes back to a couple years ago. Like, you know, at the start of the season, you look at that D-core, and you know, I know even national reporters were saying it's one of the best D-cores in the league because you look at the foundation, Dahlin, Byram, Power, and Samuelson. It doesn't work out that way right now. Dahlin's been great. Byram's been good when he's with Dahlin, but he hasn't been good when he's with anyone else. And Owen Power, yeah, like there's some good moments, but he needs to be able to do more on the power play. This guy was drafted first overall, Mike, and he can't.
No. He doesn't need to be able to do more on the power play. He needs to do something on the power play.
He doesn't do anything on the power play. Right. There's no deception with him. There's no shot. He's not a threat to score. No. So there's no – it's just predictable. So that is Kevin Adams' problem right now. And there's a lot. There's a lot going on there with some of these players that he's committed to. And it's going to come down to Terry Pegula and the people that he listens to, which we don't know who's in that circle of trust anymore because it seems to change once every couple of years with how many people get fired around here. It all depends on how he views this. If somebody else coming in and making a few trades is going to up, if this is going to turn things around.
And Terry has trust issues. We know that he doesn't like bringing in quote unquote outsiders. I mean, if they fire Kevin Adams,
nobody's taking that job from the outside.
Right. People have to understand Jerry Fortin is going to be the GM most likely. And
him or Jason Karmanos will be the interim GM. And they'll say, oh, we'll do a search in the summer. No one's going to want to take that job when the owner's in your ear all the time. No one's going to take that job when the owner wants you to have a small pro scouting staff and rely on analytics and video. We heard the three words back in June 2020, effective, efficient, economic. That was his vision for this franchise. And I know Kevin Adams is tired of being hurt, asked about the owner. And he has passionate defenses for Terry Pegula. Terry Pegula has done so much for this city. Yeah, except for you hand you a budget that allows you to win in the NHL. No one runs a team like this. You know, you're not going to you're not going to reinvent the wheel. All right. You haven't won anything since you've been owner. You know, like
the Buffalo Sabres should not feel they have a monopoly on wisdom. They haven't, like you said, they haven't done anything. No. They've been out of the playoffs. They might be the worst organization in professional sports this side of the New York Jets and Giants.
Athletics got to be up there now, right?
Well, they just spent money on a free agent pitcher.
Well, you have to, or they're going to get fined, right? So they got no choice in that league. As you wrote in the Buffalo News on Monday, is this franchise's biggest problem. And it is very hard to square away when you think about the Bills and their success and how big of a disaster this can be at times. Let's shift over to our third topic. We took a lot of time on that one. We could be a little bit shorter on these. Tage Thompson made a comment about guys being tight, timid, afraid to make mistakes. And we heard Don Granato's philosophy. I want guys to be fearless. These guys don't look fearless, do they, Mike? You look at the comeback against Colorado. You look at the way they played against Utah. You look at the way that they threw away that lead in the third period against Detroit. it is very difficult to fathom. And you know what? 7-game losing streaks happen across the league. Lindy Ruff pointed out to, you know, he's pointed it out. It happens to teams across the league. Jason Zucker said it post-game on Monday. When he was in Minnesota, he said it was 14. I think it ended up being 12 based on some of your research. But come on. Like, these guys should be past this by now, you know? And you're talking about Tage Thompson. You're talking about Alex Tuch. You got Ryan McLeod. There's enough veterans on this team. Like, they shouldn't look like that when they're protecting leads. Yet they do.
The last 4 years, this is the 10th streak of 4 games or more the Sabres have gone winless. It's happened 10 times. The year before was the 18-game losing streak, which some of these guys were here for. Thompson, Cousins, Dahlin, Jokke Haru were all part of the 18-game losing streak. They have losing streaks all the time. They haven't won 4 in a row in almost 2 years. They have to figure out ways to get out of this thing. They have to get out of this thing against the New York Rangers. Forget about Washington. Forget about Toronto. But you're right. They simply play with fear. One of the issues here is another run of home games. They play with incredible fear at home. They just cannot handle getting booed. They are mentally fragile. And the fans this year, for the record, have been a lot better than they were last year.
A lot more patient,
a lot more understanding, and they haven't gotten rewarded. This is the homestand, 7 out of 8 at home. Well, they're 0-6 so far. So, you know, these guys just have to get out of their own heads because look at this. They're 3 points out. They should be 15 points out of a playoff spot right now. It's almost miraculous. But if they are going to continue to be this mentally fragile, there's no choice but to ship some of these guys out of here and get new guys in here.
Standings were on the video screens in the locker room again after practice on Tuesday. They know where they're at, and they understand if this continues to slip, climbing back up is going to be so much more difficult. They only have a few more games until Christmas. Now is the time. They have to turn it around right now, and giving away 2 points to the Detroit Red Wings just made it so much more difficult. We'll see how they handle it. Last topic, Mike. We'll look beyond the Ranger game because who knows when our listeners are going to be able to, you know, finally get around to tuning in. But this is a very difficult series of road games. You know, they've struggled in back-to-backs. Well, good luck with this one. You got the Washington Capitals on Saturday. Man, that team is playing so well right now. And then on Sunday,
without Ovechkin.
On Sunday, you get to go to Toronto and the Maple Leafs, who are a very different team, in my opinion, than what we saw a year ago, just based on the way that Craig Berube's having them play and some buy-in, I think, just in terms of what he's making these guys do in terms of team defense.
Right. You know, and that's the thing, too, is now you're going to go to Toronto, the second game of a back-to-back. The second games of back-to-backs have been disasters of late. And the Leafs, you know, I picked the Leafs to win the Atlantic Division at the start of the season. I see no reason to change that prediction. Who knows what they're going to do in the playoffs, but they're the best 82-game team. You know, no excuse to the fact the Florida Panthers are the defending cup champions. So the Sabres are going to have to deal with the Leafs. And deal with the Leafs, as I look at it here, twice in a week. The Leafs are going to be in Buffalo on Friday the 20th with all their fans in tow, I'm sure. But as you look at this thing, Washington, Toronto, at Montreal, Toronto at home, at Boston, at the Islanders, where the Sabres lost 13 out of the last 15. Not a lot of wins coming on this schedule. If they win a couple of these games, oh, that's a surprise. Sabres won a game. I mean, they are in a serious problem, and that's the biggest problem for Kevin Adams. If this thing gets to 10, 11, 12 games in a row, it's like Terry didn't want to fire Ralph Kruger. It got to 14 losses in a row. He had no choice. He's going to have no choice. If it's 10, 11, 12 in a row, he's going to have no choice with Adams.
Especially if there's just zero progress for some of these guys that have to be difference makers. I don't care who the GM is. If J.J. Paterka is playing the way that he is, you're not winning. You're not. If Dylan Cousins plays the way that he did late in that Colorado game and just defends poorly, and you're not winning.
How about the way Dylan Cousins defended in that goal against Utah?
Man, there's that as well, right? There are some issues that, and you could see it's been interesting to see Lindy Ruff. You remember toward the end of training camp, how enthusiastic he is. He was very hopeful, I guess, is a way to frame it about his players. He really thought that he got a lot out of them during training camp. He was excited to see where they could take things. He was very interested to see how they would react. He wanted to be patient. Well, his patience is gone. We don't see vintage Lindy in press conferences, but there's little glimpses, though, of
You've never seen vintage Lindy. But
I've seen the YouTube videos. Yes. That's about it.
And they're hilarious. Yeah. But ultimately, let's not forget. I mean, reality of life. Lindy is 64 years old. Yep. A lot of those vintage Lindy moments that I was around for some of, where he was in his 40s. You're a little different at age 64 than in your 40s.
And more coaches did that. More coaches were very fiery and presser.
It doesn't play anymore.
No, now you make headlines when you do it, like Torts, right? Torts makes the diving comment, and it becomes headlines. It gets you know, the video gets cut, the clip is everywhere online. So
yeah, imagine Lindy walks in after one of these losses and says, "I'm not taking any questions." And he gives a couple-minute comment and walks out. That'll just spread like wildfire. And coaches don't want to do that. They don't want to create YouTube moments like Adams created with palm trees and taxes. You're trying to avoid that if you're looking from the PR sense of things.
And athletes nowadays, they're receptive to different types of messaging than guys back like 20 years ago. And I think it is interesting, and we can't really measure this, but how the coaching change and this changes to the system have impacted this team and its confidence. Because we saw, right, there was a time where they were having trouble scoring, and then it became very obvious that we saw that guys were starting to cheat for offense.
Right.
They got shut out twice in three games. And then they tried to cheat for offense, and they got eaten alive. So Lindy Ruff even made it clear to us pregame on Monday, I believe it was, that defensemen in the system last year under Don Granato were told not to box out.
It hurts my head to hear things like that. But what is going on here? And it's true.
It is true. A counterpoint, though, is even though they weren't told to box out, Don Granato had them finish 11th in the NHL in 5-on-5 goals against, which is remarkable if the guys aren't even boxing out. So how? And now they're 25th as we sit here today. So this team might be going through growing. And that's another factor that this owner and the people around him, I'm sure, are going to consider about this team's struggles, especially if they lose on Wednesday, is how has the coaching change impacted things, right? And are we going to start to see more consistency? But, Mike, it's almost 30 games.
Yeah, time is a ticking. And I'm not even – we're not talking about the coach. I'm just not.
No? Well, no, there's –
we're not talking about that. I don't want anybody thinking there's anything with the coach, because it has to be players and GM right now. And,
yeah.
You know, teams don't fire GMs in the season usually, but it's the only move Terry Pegula is going to have if he doesn't want an empty building. The fans want Adams out, period.
When it comes to the coach, my only point is that it takes time to eradicate the bad habits that these guys developed over multiple seasons. That's
multiple.
Yeah. Multiple seasons. And some of those guys, it's 150, almost 200 games where those bad habits were allowed. And you know, when Don Granato took over, he opened it up, right? Go score. I'll teach you how to play defense later. That's the easy part. And they did, but they were very reckless defensively. And that led to bad habits. And when Don went to go reel him back in, it was a little bit more challenging than he anticipated. So we'll see where it goes, Mike. Wednesday night, Sabres hosting the New York Rangers. Then they're back on the road. I'll be in D.C. to cover their game against the Capitals. Both of us are slated to be in Toronto on Sunday for the game against the Maple Leafs. Then you go to Montreal to finish that road trip. So never a dull moment in Buffalo. He's Mike Harrington. I'm Lance Isowski. This is Ice Time, the Buffalo News' Hockey Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you guys next time.